This is a wonderful story, especially if you put it in the context of the day. And I think it's pretty interesting that we're looking at the prophet Jeremiah at the same time we're examining this story from the Gospel of Luke. Because Jeremiah provides background for this story. It's also the same theme that our children were singing about for us. All about the Babylonian captivity. Well, Jeremiah is the prophet that predicted that Nebuchadnezzar would come and destroy Jerusalem. He predicted that bad news. He predicted that all that they had hoped for and dreamed for as a nation was going to be taken away from them. It's also interesting to note that modern day Iraq is Babylon. So the same struggle between the Arabs and the Jews was going on at that time. A couple of weeks ago in the lectionary that we did not examine was when Jeremiah, in the midst of this destruction and being carried off into captivity, he knew that because God had spoken that to him, sent someone out to take his money and buy a piece of land. Now think about that. Consider what happened to the stock market immediately following the terrorist attacks. Everybody's panicking. Everybody's trying to hold on to what they have. And Jeremiah, faced with something far worse, makes a big investment. What was he saying? That God is always with us, and he will bring us back to this place. I may never see this piece of land that I purchased today, but it will belong to my children and my children's children and their children. It was an investment in the future because he was grateful to God even in the midst of the destruction of his nation and believed that God would restore them again. Now that set up an interesting situation because when the people did return from captivity, they had a little problem. There were people they didn't like called Samaritans. And they were the people who stayed in the land during the captivity and intermarried with the Babylonians and later the Assyrians. And the Jews just didn't feel they were good enough people to be associated with. So you just didn't associate with Samaritans. As a matter of fact, if you lived in Galilee, if you lived in the province of Galilee, Nazareth in particular, this is why the journey was so long for Mary and Joseph. They had to go east, down, and cross the Jordan River, go on the other side of the Jordan River, go south, and then go west through Jericho, back up into Jerusalem. Why? Because no good Jew would be caught dead in Samaria. You just don't associate with those kind of people. Jesus and his disciples were going through the area between Galilee and Samaria. Jesus didn't take the long way. He took the shortcut. He didn't care about those boundaries. He didn't care about those attitudes. He took the shortest distance heading towards Jerusalem, and it took him right through Samaria. And as they were traveling, 10 lepers, suffering from a dreaded disease that separated people even more from society, blisters and your skin just rotting away, and even fingers and toes and hands falling off from this disease and eventually dying. I mean, it's no wonder no one wanted you nearby. So they were wise. They stood at a distance. But from a distance, they cried out, "Master, have mercy upon us." And Jesus did. And he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And they turned, and they headed towards the priest. And they were healed. You know, the amazing verse is not the last verse Julie read. Your faith has healed you. That's not the secret of this passage. Jesus says that numerous times. All 10 lepers were healed because they had faith. They asked Jesus for mercy. Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. They had faith to act on his word, and they started going to the priest, and they were healed. The amazing part of the story is that 1 out of 9, when he was on the way to the priest, looked down and saw, miracle of miracles, where are those ugly sores? I'm well. I'm healed. Hallelujah. And immediately, he turned back towards Jesus. Now, maybe that was prophetic. Maybe somehow in his heart of hearts, he knew that Jesus was the greatest priest that ever lived. He didn't have to go find a Jewish priest somewhere or a Samaritan priest, because this man was a Samaritan. We presume the other 9 were good Jews. But the Samaritan turned back to go back to Jesus. And then he praised God in a loud voice, not some little whiny, wimpy voice. Well, goodness gracious, I thank you, God, or whoever did this. I mean, he was praising God big time. God had cured him of a dreaded disease. Probably the most dreaded disease of the day. It would have been better to have been dead than to be a leper. And just because he believed in the words of Jesus, he was healed. And he couldn't help but turn back and go to Jesus and turn his eyes up to God and say, thank you, God. And when he got to Jesus, he threw himself at Jesus' feet, giving thanksgiving. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, that is an attitude of gratitude. That's not just thanks, that's gratitude. When God is good to us, we need to always turn our eyes back to Jesus, the source of those blessings. We need to praise God in heaven with a loud voice. Let the whole world know that God is blessing us. But most important of all, we need to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and say, you're just so good to me, Lord, that I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to you. Do with me as you will. An attitude of gratitude. Jesus said, where are the other 9? Only this foreigner, only this man who was not only an outcast because he was a leper, but because he was a Samaritan, came back, truly thanked God, and threw himself at my feet. Where, oh, where are the other 9? Well, I'm asking you this morning to be like the Samaritan. I'm asking you to put yourself at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with an attitude of gratitude. You see, we can't be a church just by hiring a minister to do godly stuff. We've got to have people committed to the Lord. We've got to have people who, when God blesses them, turn their eyes back to Jesus, thank God with a loud voice, and submit themselves to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, today is the day. You know, in the past, we had a nominating committee. The suggested name for that in the discipline now is lay leadership. You're lay people, and you're supposed to provide the leadership for this church. I'm your pastor, but you're supposed to provide the leadership for this church. And here, surrounding you, are the ministries of your church. Now, we've got some new ones here, and I hope you've read about some of these. We've got to take better care of the people God has entrusted to us. So this carousel ministry says we have got to do a better job of staying in touch with the people God has given us, and we haven't done such a good job. We've got over 500 members on this roll and people who haven't been in a long time, but how much have we really cared? What have we done to show them that we care? What have we done to really reach out to them other than say, well, they ought to be here? I don't get it. The carousel ministry is asking some people to be brave enough this morning to stick your name right up here and say, in my neighborhood, I'm willing to work with the pastor and the leadership of this church to develop a plan where we, as a family, will take care and look after and keep up with the people in my neighborhood and area. And we'll work with whatever God gives us. But we've got to start doing that, folks. Or the people that we bring in, we're going to lose just like we've lost other people. And we've got to stop blaming them for not being here. We've got to love them, teach them, care about them. And that's a good step. I want to thank the senior citizens who were at the last meeting of Helping Hands. I gave them a challenge. I talked to Eva about it before the meeting, and she says, well, come on, I'm up for it. But it was a wonderful day because I challenged the people in Helping Hand, which are our senior citizens, to take on the care ministry of the elders in this church. Those, because God has blessed them so they can get out and come to these meetings, then help me take care of those who aren't coming. Maybe they need transportation to get here. Maybe they can't come at all. But we need to stay in touch and love them and care for them. And they accepted that challenge, and we went down the list of membership and identified those people, and we're in the process of an elder care ministry for the life of our church. I hope we're going to have people sign up for care cells to take care of all of the members of our church. We'll get there by faith. We need to be reaching out to our community. Outreach ministry will deal with a lot of outreach issues that we don't have enough to form a team for that right now. Our families first. We've already got 6 or 7 people that have volunteered for that. I had someone come up to me today over at Grace because I gave them the challenge to take a family, but they don't feel like they can handle it. There's a person or two over there that's willing to be on the team. Why? Because they believe we've got to reach out and love and care for people because God loved us. I hope people, we've got 6 or 7 that are willing to be on that team. I expect to see their names there. Now, I don't know that we need everybody in one by one. We already got 26 to 30 people on there, so you don't have to slap your name up there. We got a good list going this year, don't we, Amy? But I wanted that. That is one of our most successful outreach ministries in the life of this church. And it's growing, and God's blessing it, and He'll bless these others. Hospitality team is something new. That'll be our greeter and other people where we want to welcome people into the life of the church because God's loved us. We want to love them. It's a way to welcome people and make them feel at home. Ministries, doorstep evangelism. We've got to get out in our community and let people know we're here. That frightens people to go out and visit because, well, do I have to give them a witness to my salvation, give them the plan of salvation? No, we're going to do a simple evangelism. We're just going to go knock on their door, let them know we're here, that we love God, and do they have any special needs? Because we're willing to stand right there on the doorstep and just have a prayer for that family. That's all we ask. We don't even ask to go inside. We just want to let them know we're here, we care, what are their needs, and if we find out some of those needs and we can respond to them later. That's not asking a whole lot. You don't have to learn a whole lot to just go knock on a door As a matter of fact, we'll go in teams of two, and one person doesn't even have to be comfortable with praying. Just one needs to be praying. As long as you can stand there and pray silently for the one who's praying, for the person that comes to that door. If they don't come to the door, we're going to have door hangers. We're going to leave them there, let them know we care, we're thinking about them. And this community, we want them to be a part of this family. Our vision team, we need to talk about where we're going to be in 5 years, 10 years from now. And what are we doing to get there? What plans are we making? We're activating a memorial team for building up memorial gifts for extras and special things in the life of the church. Pastor Parrish has established a personnel team to basically look at our child care workers. If that's an interest of yours, put your name there. All around are teams that will plan ministries to meet the needs of people in the life of the church. I hope you'll respond to that with an attitude of gratitude. That you'll look at your life and say, what has God done for me? Turn your eyes back on Jesus. Lift your eyes up to God and thank Him. And throw yourself at the feet of Jesus by offering to give of your time and your ability. Like I say, everybody puts their name up there, doesn't have to come to committee meetings. We want you out there ministering. Someone will represent you at the meetings. How are you going to put yourself at the feet of Jesus and say, thank you for what you have done for me? That's what God's calling us to do today. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we pray your blessings upon us as we seek to have an attitude of gratitude. Touch our hearts that we can respond during the offering of not only giving of our tithes and offerings, but giving of ourselves, our time. Be with us and bless us. Continue to bless us. But above all, help us to be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.